Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice to sing some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust here in our New York City offices here at Billboard. Excited to have two executives, the people behind Roadrunner. Mike Easterland, president of Roadrunner Records and Fueled by Ramen. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
And Mitch Mills, VP Adult Promotion for Roadrunner Promotions.
Thank you, Gary.
So you guys work together at Roadrunner. You have different titles. One's Roadrunner Records, one's Roadrunner Promotions.
Yeah. You want me to tackle that?
You can take that one on, Mike.
Atlantic Records is very unique in the fact that we are the only major label in the business that actually supports two fully functioning radio promotion staffs. We have two. We have one called Atlantic. We have another one called Roadrunner Promotion. The way it came to be Roadrunner Promotion was the old owner of Roadrunner loved the idea of kind of merging two different staffs into one bigger one. When this was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. And when we did that, his only big thing was, I want it to be called Roadrunner Promotion. And I was like, well, if that's the last thing hanging us up from doing all of this, I'm sure we can live with Roadrunner Promotion. Right. But really, you know, Roadrunner is a label and brand that supports mostly, you know, metal and active rock. And then Fueled by Ramen is more of a modern pop label. We can get into the specific artist in a minute, but Roadrunner Promotion as a whole is really, in for all intents and purposes, is really Atlantic Promotion 2 or Atlantic 2. We've just never changed the name back to like something like that. We've never come up with a good, really another good name. But the Roadrunner Promotion staff encompasses working all of the Fueled by Ramen stuff, all of the Roadrunner record stuff, but then a lot of Atlantic artists like Christina Perry, Jason Mraz, Kiara, which we're working now. So Roadrunner Promotion is really just a name. It's really Atlantic Promotion or Atlantic 2 Promotion.
I think also when it began, there were big, like Nickelback was hitting really big, and right, they were involved with that, and Fear of a Dead Man, they were on Roadrunner. So the branding was really about those huge artists. And then as it evolved, and we started to work, like Mike said, Christina Perry and other Atlantic records that I think it worked, maybe Buck Cherry back then.
Yeah, we did, which was on Atlantic.
But now we're getting more and more and more. And since those artists kind of have seen their days, at least in the mainstream world, we kept the name because of the brand more than anything.
Yeah, it goes back more than 30-something years, right? Roadrunner goes back to like the early 80s, I think.
Yeah, it was started actually in Holland about 30 years ago by a guy named Case Wessels. And then, I don't know, 10 years ago, he sold a good portion of it to Warner Music Group, who owns Atlantic Records, and then over the course of time sold off the rest of it. And he's into, the last I heard, he's into book publishing now, and he's got a pretty amazing art collection, and he lives somewhere between Holland and New York, depending on the moment. But
it's otherworldly.
He is. He's an amazing man, and he really built an amazing brand. And we're just trying to keep it moving forward. And it's evolved and changed a lot. But the heart of it has basically always been, you know, heavier rock to metal music. So it's a great brand. And I think everybody's kind of used to it. It's funny, even now, there are still people a little confused by the fact that it's called Roadrunner Promotion. But
it becomes a joke with radio, RRP, yeah. You know, the kind of the initials of it. Like, what exactly is that? But it's kind of hard to change, I think, the branding 7 years into it. Even people are still, you know, want to make fun of it. It's right. kind of good to keep, you know, people are, it's synonymous with the staff and what we do. They just get now that we work other, you know, other labels.
And among consumers, music fans, they hear Roadrunner. You're saying that brand has been built up. It actually does mm-hmm. kind of mean something. People hear it, they might think, that's the label that's given us so many great rock acts over the years. So that's what you're talking about with the value of that brand.
Yeah, I think it gets more confusing to actually, believe it or not, some of the radio people sometimes that, wait a minute, don't you work all radio, you know, Roadrunner Records? And really, it's just a name for the most part. It's you know, the second promotion team at Atlantic.
Yeah, I think it's a way to identify. There's two promotions teams at Atlantic, like Mike said. I think it's just a way to identify which team is working which record at this point.
All right, one of the biggest stories we really should start with for the last year or so you guys have been working is 21 Pilots. Mm-hmm. So Blurry Face came out a year ago. Do you have any idea of the success we'd be talking about a year later? It was pretty much a year ago now. The album debuted at number one on the mm-hmm. Billboard 200. Take us back to even the setup to the album and to where we are now. Two huge hits, one of the biggest hits of the year in Stressed Out. When the project began, what was the mindset when it started?
I guess I have to take this one.
Mike, take that.
We'll get you. We'll get you, Mitch.
I'll just sit in the corner.
No, but it's interesting because it'll actually perfectly kind of blend right into Mitch getting involved because it really has been a concentrated effort over the course of 4.5 years since we signed the band, leading back to the first record, Vessel, and really letting the touring and the merch and everything else that was happening underneath really drive 21 Pilots. You know, they came out of Columbus, Ohio. They could do a few thousand tickets there, maybe a few hundred tickets in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. But we knew if people saw them live, that would be the game changer. And so, you know, radio was part of the plan on the first album, but it wasn't the main driver. And I, in a lot of ways, I think it's kind of starting to establish kind of how you do artist development in 2016 and dating back 4 years even to kind of making sure that everything else is underneath so that it's not fully dependent on radio. But we knew once we got to radio, it would be the game changer that would take it to the next level. And there's scary things that come with that as well. But, you know, as I was hearing, I was getting... Tyler was writing the record. Tyler Joseph, the lead singer, was writing the record during the Vessel tour. So when I was getting, when I was hearing songs with no vocals or anything, and he was playing them in the back of the bus during tour dates and stuff, he had a studio in the back, you could tell there was something very special that he was doing with it, but there was no way to kind of put it in any kind of a context until he started to write the lyrics. She's a tear in my heart. I think the first time I heard the first single, Tear in My Heart, was I went into the studio in L.A. and he played me five songs. Stressed Out was one of them. But he played me five, and Stressed Out wasn't as obvious, although it was very special, and everything he played was very special. But then he said, I'm going to quote exactly what he said. He said, he played me Tear in My Heart, and he said, is that shitty radio song you want now? And I said, that will do just fine. keep making shitty songs like that. Because, you know, his whole thing, he didn't want to write a song just for, you know, he didn't want it to be just for radio. But right. at the same time, he was willing to conform a little bit to the idea of chorus, you know, verse chorus and all of that to get it structured in a way that it worked for radio. And I don't think he changed what his belief was about making music by doing that. I just think he kind of bent a little bit our way. And so, yeah, then I started getting four songs at a time into my computer and started being able to listen. I could hear that it was going to be pretty magical.
Considering how big Stressed Out has become, mm-hmm. the absolute huge hit so far from the album, now Ride, has become really big as well. But Tear in My Heart, it was a big alternative hit. Spent, I think, 8 weeks peaking at number two at alternative. But why was that the first single? When, considering how big Stressed Out has become, what was the thinking?
Tear in My Heart was just the most obvious. I think we knew from the very beginning Stressed Out was the biggest because you could see it on streaming. And then following a close second or third was Ride. So the three songs were actually speaking, which is a really unique situation where you get to be that lucky to have a song, songs just speaking to you. And it was the fan base, really, that was saying it. So there was no genius effort, you know, that went into it. Just Tearing My Heart kind of fit exactly what we thought they needed for modern rock.
A more normal,
yeah, it was structured like a radio song,
type radio song,
you know,
yeah.
And like, you know, like Tyler put it, that was that shitty radio song I needed. And so for us, Tearing My Heart was always kind of, actually the first song we ever heard was Ride. And we were like, God, if he makes a few more of those, we're gonna be in great shape.
Yeah.
And then Tearing My Heart came to be, and that was obvious. But we knew from the very beginning Stressed Out was a big record because it was just streaming like crazy. We made an amazing video for it. The band did. I don't know why I'm saying we. The band has an amazing video guy that they work with, and they came up with the idea of the big wheels and everything. And it just made for an amazing video that then led into a great song. But yeah, we always knew Stressed Out, so we always knew that was going to be the big one.
Even though it's weirder, you thought that would have more crossover potential?
Oh, I was definitely scared of it.
Yeah?
I mean, I was definitely scared of the fact that it wasn't so obvious. And I think for Mitch, who works, you know, the adult formats, it was definitely a lot scarier because he raps in it, even though it's not your standard or normal kind of what you would consider urban or hip-hop rap. It's still rap.
Let's talk about that crossover. So they have another big hit with Tearing My Heart and then Stressed Out. Not a surprise it did well at alternative radio. That's their base. And then, Mitch, this is where you come in.
Well, I think
you turned into a pop hit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from an observer at Hot EC, you know, obviously enjoy the record, but you don't really think about working a record unless you're given it or there's a plan to necessarily go, especially for Adult Top 40. But honestly, the way the plan was laid out, it was ready to go. I mean, it was one of those plans that was so perfectly laid out by Mike and John Boulos, who's the head of our department, and other people, obviously, fueled by Ramen, that by the time we went, Stressed Out didn't feel as scary. And in the beginning, I was like, all right, we're going to have some trouble here, you know, that you do with records. But it was the most natural, amazing progression that you want for a record. And then I would say about a month and a half into it, you start to get program directors and people that are saying, this is going to be giant. And then you sit back for a second, even though you may think the song is a little odd for the format or difficult, this record's going to be enormous. And then you just kind of sit back and you get what you don't get very often, at least myself in a career, and watch a record just go.
Right.
Magically, just fucking magically.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Just go. So I knew, Gary, I'm sorry. I knew it was going to happen.
Get I said shit.
It's right. I said shit. So it was much more of a natural. I mean, in the beginning, you know, you have to convince a few people here and there, but the record was so teed up and so perfect, and I think everyone involved in the project, again, Mike and John, they were so smart about not rushing Tearing My Heart and what everybody wants you to do with a label. You know, let's get it. Let's get the mainstream mass audience. Let's work it. It's ready. They waited, and by doing so...
We didn't wait. We didn't cross it.
Right. Well, all right. But I was trying to keep lighter about it. But yes, they didn't even sign across it. But by doing that, they really kind of saved the magic of the band and the purity of the band. And instead, you have everything in place that you want for a magical band. And right now, they are.
Well, that's kind of a traditional release plan, too, going back many years. You sort of release that rock single first for the rock home
barely,
base.
It barely works anymore like this. I mean, not this perfectly. Truly, I don't think.
Yeah, there was a conscious effort to not cross the first single, and those were not popular conversations with my bosses. But I felt like if we didn't cross the first song, then we had a very legitimate shot to go back with Stressed Out to modern rock and really let modern rock take some ownership of this band. And so it was scary because we were selling 10,000 singles a week. So there was enough evidence that if you crossed it, it would do well. And there were certainly people, I know you had Kid Kelly on recently. He was definitely screaming at me, like, how are you not crossing the song?
Yeah.
And it was just really, you know, it starts 4.5 years ago though. We haven't forced anything. We've let the things develop the way they're supposed to. I can take credit, or Mitch or anyone. You got to give real credit to the band and to their management, who bought into a plan of, and I don't think they want the fast win. I think they feel like they have a real career if this goes step by step, and we don't run before we walk. And so everything's been about taking one step at a time, and now it's, you know, 2 Madison Square Gardens. They got a Barclays Center up in New York. They got a Prudential. They're playing the Greek in L.A. They're playing the 2 Greeks in San Francisco, 2 Red Rocks, and they're playing the Forum, and then I think they're doing Anaheim. So they've become a legitimate arena band, and I truly believe it's because Stressed Out wasn't just a song. This was about a band that had built everything. And didn't rush to it. And listen, the ultimate credit goes to our bosses at Atlantic, you know, Craig Gelman and Julie Greenwald, who bought into a plan because everything was saying we should go, 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 go. And it was like getting them to buy into the idea of we're not going to rush this. This is going to happen as it happens, and it's right. Going to be smart. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. And then a gift fell from the sky this week. You know, we got offered a chance to do this soundtrack, Suicide Squad. And we really needed to go back to modern rock with something a little bit darker and a little bit heavier after Stressed Out and Ride. And the song Heathens just fit that. You know, Tyler saw the movie, had an idea, and just delivered on it. And it just fit everything that we needed for the band at this point, which was to be able to go back to modern rock with a really dark and kind of sinister song.
It's
yeah. He wrote a hit again. As much as he doesn't try to, he did it.
But he wrote the right kind of hit, I think.
He did.
It's like what Mike's saying. He was able to go back to that audience. The audience says, give me. I mean, to be able to kind of keep the purity of what this band first started out to be, even after what happened with Stressed Out and what's going to happen with Ride in a minute, I just don't think you can plan for that. You know, but for how that happened and now have this Heathens thing, which I think is going to just take over.
Well,
the
we
world.
Continue to work Riot at Top 40 and Hot AC, which is great. So we have, you know,
a lot of things just
sitting here today. We got 2 records in the top 10 on iTunes for the band, and they deserve it. I mean, they work so hard, and Tyler and Josh have come up with such amazing music and such an amazing live show. If no one's seen the live show, it's truly something to see that, you know, for only 2 guys on stage. I fully believe they will be in stadiums. I think they will figure out how to do it with just 2 guys on stage. And the production on this tour has just been next level. It's really an event when you go to a show. Kids camp out the night before. They all want to be close. The merch is flying. I watch kids walk around with 2 or 3 or 4 T-shirts. My daughter tells me that at her school, literally there's 21 Pilot shirts, and then every once in a while she has a spattering of other bands. But it's just become, you know, the merch, that's another thing, you know, the merch itself is an amazing story because he came up with the concept of black, red, and white, and so everything on this tour is all black, red, and white. When you see the stage is red. Everything they wear on stage, other than his flowery thing he wears for a few songs, black, white, and red. He's created an entire kind of, and then the subject matter of what he's tackling on this particular record, it's insecurity. On the last record, it was depression, it was suicide. He's covering some pretty heavy topics that you don't really understand that he's doing because the music is just good and it's up and it's great to listen to.
Yeah, Ride is like a happy reggae song.
But it's underneath like very heavy meanings to the songs. And listen, he's a very they are very special artists, and we're really lucky to work with them.
I've written about this. I think a big part of their appeal is...
Thank you, by the way. You've written quite a few things about them, so we appreciate it.
We write about hits. these songs have been written by one person, by Tyler, and it's so rare now to have a hit that's written by one person. It used to be, decades ago, half the chart. Songs were written by one person. Yeah. Now it's teams.
Now it's five.
I think there's something about that genuineness that really comes through, that singular vision.
I think when you see a show and how many people attend the show, and like Mike said, the merch story, it's only genuine. I mean, there's no other way. I mean, that says it right there. There are bands with some big monster hits, and they may for a period of time do fairly well or better than they would have on a touring level. But this is next level in every way. I mean, when a Odyssey guy's rapping about the merch story amongst everything else that's going on to get a record on the radio, it's pretty big. You don't really mention merch. It's not something, but it's so significant, you kind of have to.
And in an era of continually declining sales, selling merch is a pretty good thing for you guys to be able to have that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the streaming's obviously been huge on this band, and we'll cross over the million mark on the album shortly, which is not done very much anymore. And so everything has been really, really phenomenal. The one final piece of the puzzle of making the record that would be a very interesting thing to maybe note, that not a lot of people know, and it just shows how much Tyler kind of harnesses it all, is that there were actually three different producers on this record. Yet, if you listen to the record, it's all very cohesive, and it all sounds like 21 Pilots, and it's really Tyler's ability to make music, and to then work with three really good producers and be able to kind of make it all fit together into what is Blurry Face. So he's an amazing talent. It's so funny to be around him because he hasn't changed a bit, and he...
Yeah, are they good guys?
They're great. They're tremendous guys, and they're very family guys. Most of the crew are all people they grew up with. The crew's obviously a lot bigger now, but the core group of the crew are all buddies from high school or kids they grew up with. The production director, who didn't know what he was doing when he started, is a guy named Daniel Gibson, is like one of the top now, and he just learned on the fly, and they were loyal to him, and they were with him the whole, you know, part of the way of kind of growing from venue to venue and learning bigger and bigger production. And the guy's phenomenal now. And incredibly hands-on, and I don't know when he sleeps. He's incredible, but yeah, that's like one of their best friends. The business manager is Daniel's dad. The tour manager is Daniel's brother. You know, it's a pretty amazing. Jordan is who does like a lot of the publicity stuff on the tour, and is really in lockstep with the band. Is Tyler's best friend since he was like 5 years old.
That's so going to make it so much fun for them that they can go on this ride.
Well, they also fight like it, you know, but they can fight, right. You know, there's not this kind of, I'm the boss. And, you know, Jordan has no problem telling Tyler, like, you know, go fly a kite. Yeah. Wasn't that a better way of saying what I wanted to say?
How dare they say something
but
like
they,
that?
But they have that kind of a relationship.
Doesn't
obviously
come out quite like that.
And obviously things have changed, but they have it's very special to be backstage at their tour dates because they're all very close in family.
So three singles, three hits from the album, and now Heathens, which is getting the full-on push and probably crossing to pop, or depending on how it's received.
It will only cross to pop if pop screams and says they want it to. If they don't, then we will pull the ultimate fun move, which is to go back to Tearing My Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still screaming like a smash. When they play it live, it's still streaming. Everything still says it's a hit. I just really wanted to let modern rock own it on the first one. But I never thought that if we could do it, it wouldn't be great to go back and give it to pop radio.
So. And that would be a rare. I mean, I don't. Yeah. You probably know better than me. You're more of an encyclopedia for that kind of stuff, Gary.
Yeah, but I know what happened.
When would that happen last?
Pink went back to a song Pink after it didn't
that,
work.
I'm going way
that when it didn't work the first time, and then they went back once they.
But you're talking about a modern rock going back to a modern record to another to tough
example. I'm going to give you is the Cranberries after Linger. Became a hit. They went back to the single before that, and that wound up being a pop hit. So it's
that's awesome.
Same
cool.
type of thing.
That's
where,
sometimes that's good company. I take that.
Sometimes you have that rock hit, then you cross over, and then you realize you know, this other
catchy
song.
You're talking about 20, 15 years ago.
It's pretty rare.
That's very rare. Yeah. So that would be
fun.
That would be very
cool. It's fun, and we have a manager who loves the idea, so he's like, yeah, let's go do it. So
any news about the next 21 Pilots album? Where do they go from here?
They're going to tour all the way until next summer and then do festivals. But he's got a full studio on his bus, so he's always writing. He's actually, I shouldn't say he's always writing. He hasn't been right now. He's focusing on the show. He's trying to keep his energy. These are big shows he's doing with big stages. It's a lot different animal now. It's almost a 2-hour show, so it takes a lot of him. So right now, I think he's just trying to get his legs under him every night and make sure. And he's it's that time of year with allergies and stuff, so it's a little bit, singing's a little bit trickier right now. And so he's really taking care of himself, trying to sleep a lot, but he's got it all set up. And when he starts feeling it, he'll start writing again. But he's always got ideas. So he came off of the Vessel tour, and literally it took us 4 months to put the first single out. I'd love for him to do that again. I don't know if he can do that again. That's a lot of wear and tear, but I don't know when it'll be, but he's always thinking. So hopefully, not too long after they're done touring.
Let me ask you about some other Roadrunner acts, other stuff you guys have coming up. Let me start with Paramore, because it's been a little while now since they had what was really a pop breakthrough album for them. What can you tell us? What's coming up next for them?
These are all... We got to start to get your questions.
Well, it's
all
right.
Paramore. It's so Haley got married back in April. And so preparing for that consumed a little bit of time. During that time, she was writing. She just came out with a new hair dye line, so she's been focused on that. But I am happy to say that they've been actually posting on Instagram and stuff. They're in the studio. They started recording this week, actually. So
still in that pop direction, going back to the rock direction more?
I probably shouldn't say, and I probably really don't know that much, based on what little I've heard. I think there'll be the rockers on there, and I think there'll be the pop songs, and there'll be the amazing ballads that she writes, and there'll be a little bit of everything. But
they've always been based on melody more than anything anyway, so maybe it's more how the production will be. But they've always been really catchy pop songs.
Well, they're back with JMJ, who did the last record, so that's a great thing. And we'll just see where it goes. But, I can safely say 2017, but I can't safely say when.
Okay.
Because I don't know yet.
What else you got coming up? What are some of the bigger projects you think down the line, the next little bit?
Oh, boy. I wish I had my sheet with me. I think, we continue with Panic on the Fuel by Ramen side. We just have had this new artist come out named Against the Current that's doing a little bit bigger internationally than here, but they're starting on Warped Tour tomorrow. And then I have some baby acts coming out, a pretty big act that hasn't been announced yet, that I'm really excited about. There'll be a good balance of the Paramores and this other one, and then some newer things that I'm really excited about. But the Fuel by Ramen roster now is, I think, 12, and we'll never be much more than that. So there's always something, and then obviously 21 Pilots will continue through the rest of the year. And then on the Roadrunner side, we recently announced Motionless in White that we signed. We'll have Stone Sour next year. Don't know when, but we will. Then there's a bunch of smaller things, but those for the two labels side. And then on the promotion side, you should talk about kind of some of the stuff we're working on now.
You want to know what we're working now? Is that the next?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
What are you doing these days, Mitch?
What am I doing? Oh, God, Gary. Where do I start?
Using Haley's hair gel.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Mitch has great hair. For everyone listening, Mitch is very much known for his hair.
Oh, and Gary's been saying that since 1995. Well,
you
God
still
bless
have, you.
You
still have hair.
I still have it, so I guess
one of the lucky ones.
I never know what I'm going to get, which is one of the great things about working here. Sometimes it seems like it might be getting a little short, and then all of a sudden they come out with some amazing stuff. This is last year, but, similar to 21 Pilots, we were given that, Wiz Khalifa, Charlie Puth, which you were very involved with and writing some great things about as well. So it's ever changing. But right now, some of the Atlantic stuff in the middle of Simple Plan for Bill Top 40, which is kind of fascinating to work, being that I wasn't involved with them in the United States for a while and not sure about what the reception would be. Hot EC's changed so much.
Right.
When I did a little history, they were not involved with this act at all, which I find fascinating, the evolution of Hot EC. I mean, could you imagine Simple Plan having the success they had years ago now? It would be, you know,
they because
would
be, it's such a poppier,
yeah,
more
I mean,
rhythmic
Hot EC would want format. Every piece of that band. So, right. And I was just out with the guys, and they're getting back out there, which is exciting for me to see because you don't realize, or I didn't realize, you know, the reaction, the fan base, how great they are, how easy they are, how professional they are, how fun they are. So to see their fans, young as well, much younger than I thought. This is not a bunch of necessarily grandmas there. This is a young audience.
Surprisingly, they're like a heritage band.
Very much so. And it feels like that. And since, you know, the demo has increased now to the Hot AC demo, they welcome them. And it's been a lot of fun. So there's that project, and it's doing well. I won't bore you with chart numbers, but it's doing well. But
we like chart numbers.
You like chart numbers? All right. Well, it's technically 32 right now, building at 31. For you people, what that means is the chart comes out Sunday.
It means it's going in the right direction.
It means it's going in the right direction. It means, like, I'm doing okay, at least this week. So that's a fun project that we're, you know, that we're working. Obviously, 21 Pilots is taking a lot of time and very fun to work on a whole different level. Simple Plan is what we call, and Gary knows this, the grind out record, the week to week record, trying to find the right stations, the right guys that like the record. 21 Pilots is totally different and fun in its own way and exciting.
The Kiara record you mentioned before, too.
Yeah, that's an interesting record. Michael talked about that as well. That was a big sign in Atlantic, someone that kind of put together a song and put it out there in the ether. And again, we looked at the metrics and we were huge. But again, not a round peg to put a round hole at all, even for Top 40, which is where the song organically should go, at least as a radio format. Hot AC, even less. But, you know, I'm much more the school of thought that we take things at the same time, being that, you know, so many Hot AC stations want to play what Top 40 stations are playing. But that's a very exciting record, and that's something that's starting to get some traction, almost top 30, top 40, getting a lot of big markets, and could really end up being one of those stories that we talk about in a year from now with you again,
right,
and have a similar conversation like you're having with 21 Pilots. Just kind of this, you're watching, you know, it's amazing to work a record, and you're watching the metrics early on, and you're seeing it, you know, each week kind of correlate, and you see, you know, the work you're putting forth is working. It's an amazing feeling to get songs on the radio and then see what you're doing work in terms of streaming numbers and sales numbers, even smaller markings like Shazam numbers, knowing that people want to hear it and want to know what it is and are seeking it out. That's what it's all about. So Kiara kind of has the makings of being something very special like that as well.
Yeah, we should mention Need to Breathe at Hot AC.
Yes,
I left some Roadrunner bands off, and I'm sitting here going, people are going to kill me, but obviously we're still in the middle of Killswitch Engage and Trivium, and then we have a Amity Affliction, Gojira coming. So Gojira album's coming out this, or came out this week. So, but no, I think patience is really, it's always been difficult to work radio, and it's never been super fast. And I feel like I've been preaching back when I was day to day doing radio, the idea of patience. You know, the model in which Atlantic is set up, and it was really Julie Greenwald's model, and I have to give her full credit, our chairman, was one of the problems, and what a lot of chairmen don't want to acknowledge, and the common thing is to just say, well, you got to go faster. It's like, well, I don't control the playlist on a radio station, so I don't know how I'm supposed to do that. And some of the stuff in the stories that you hear from the 70s, I don't think we're legally supposed to do anymore. So,
anything you want to admit?
No, nothing. I'm not going to mention it, but I. The stories were great. It sounded like a real party back then. So there's no way to really speed it up. The beauty of having two promotion staffs is that when an influx of new records, or if there's new projects that we need to get to, we can literally shift from one staff to the other based on who really has the space for it. There's certain artists that we work specifically with all the time, whether it be a Jason Mraz or a Christina Perry, that we just... You know, we've been there for a very long time, and they like working with our staff. There's other artists. Sometimes we have to say, if you want to come right now, we have to shift you over here. But to answer your question, it's just much slower. But there's also, and I think part of my biggest frustration sometimes when I talk to programmers is there's kind of this, like, they're very skeptical of the information that's there now. But I know that, and I will always say, you know, we were no genius picking 21 Pilots singles. The audience told us. And I think if programmers will open their minds a little bit more to the idea, and the problem is that everybody comes in and spouts out numbers. And it's hard to decipher what's real, what's not. But one thing you could not acknowledge about Kiara and why she got signed to Atlantic was that, you know, with no radio airplay, with no major label, you know, she was doing a couple million streams a week. And that caught our attention. And the fact that right now it is an incredibly difficult struggle to get radio to understand just how enormous this is. This is a record that Spotify found very early on back in September of last year and has and still today is in their biggest playlist. They've never pulled it out, and it's never shown burn. So when you're talking to radio guys and you can quote Shazam numbers, which everyone knows, but then you can quote the Spotify streaming numbers and all of this stuff, they're great tools. We've never had better tools, and we've never had better tools to pick singles.
Right. But radio's not always accepting of these, like I think that's what Mike's saying, of these new tools. We use them, and there are some radio stations I think are faster now than they ever used to be.
I'm hearing Shazam is a lot of programmers.
Yeah, they've adopted Shazam. There's definitely meters that come about that they've adopted faster, and the ones that they're more readily, you know, that they spout back to us. And those are the ones that we go for. Because, you know, if radio's looking at it, those are the ones we have to run with. The other ones, are the ones that are a little more intangible, the Spotify numbers and things like Mike were talking about, those are a little bit more kind of in the gray area. A couple guys might look into that. It's hard to decipher. It's a lot of information. It's a lot of what does it mean? So if we're trying to decipher it, radio isn't going to sit tight and try and decipher it. So they're going to adopt their methods, and we're going to follow that lead and use those methods. I mean, that's kind of, and Shazam, you're right, that's a great point. And it's kind of like 1 + 1 = 2 with Shazam for them and for us. It's easy for us to see. It's easy for them to get. It's easy for them to see how it's working in their market. So that's been, I think, an effective tool. Hot AC is always a little bit more, even, it's a slower format than Top 40.
Right.
So I have to even feel like a little bit more archaic in terms of what I use. You know, the old fashioned rap hopefully still works. But even for Hot AC, Shazam's become a fast tool.
Well, you guys seem like you still have the fire. You guys still seem like this is really fun. It's a job you've been on for years, but it seems like you're still really having fun with all this.
We are. We're pretty lucky. We don't, you know. I mean, there's a lot of stress in the job, and there's a lot of pressure, and you've got these artists that you're responsible for, and you do get personal relationships with, and you want to win for them, and sometimes you don't, and that hurts, but...
I mean, I think for me, it's summed up pretty easily. Like Mike said before, when he saddled back up and got an ad this week, and he comes running by my office and telling me, I got it, and seeing the excitement in his face. And of course, I was psyched that he came in and bailed me out. But that excitement I still get, you know, weekly, as difficult as the job is, and yes, as neurotic as I am, that fire hasn't even remotely died. It is as big as it ever was, and it's as enjoyable as it ever was in that sense. And it's taught me so much about life and myself, which I never would have gotten doing anything else.
Phil, you're music fans too, so that carries that excitement through. You're still music fans. You still get to work with music.
We are.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Absolutely. On all the success
you as
that,
well.
You guys have been having with 21 Pilots, everything else.
And, thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Sounds like it's going to keep on going with all the future stuff, so thanks so much.
Fine. Someone find wood. I need to knock on some wood. It's all linoleum here. Yeah, yeah. Crap. All right. Well,
they don't make good wood furniture anymore. It's like this shit.
Well, thank you, and we hope people keep listening.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Congratulations on all the success. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gary.
I'm boring, so I'm taking my time on my ride. I'm boring, so I'm taking my time on my ride.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.